Welcome to Hope Is Here. I'm Greg Horn. We are continuing our conversation from yesterday about how we can be content. And the Bible promises us that God provides a peace that passes all understanding. And we started yesterday starting with a passage of scripture in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. It says, "For I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret to living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty stomach, with plenty or little in my life, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." And we talked and discussed about what that contentment looks like in a relationship. We have a personal relationship with Jesus and shared some quotes. Thought we had a really good program. I want to encourage, if you missed it, go check out this 14-minute program at our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. Also want to encourage you to make a financial donation to help us support this ministry. And you can do that online at hopeishere.today. It's secure, safe, online. But you also, if you want to write a check, there's a mailing address there. Just make the check to Hope Is Here Ministries. And all donations are tax deductible. Well, yesterday I did get started with my first point. I want to share three things with you that I think, like Paul, we can also be content with our one and only life. And the first thing I shared yesterday near the end of our program was it all starts with your daily mindset choice. It all starts with your daily mindset choice. And I talked about Joyce Meyer and the great book, The Battlefield of the Mind, and really want to encourage you to check that out. But, you know, Paul wrote this letter to the church at Philippi and talking about being content. And, I mean, it's one thing to talk the talk, but Paul definitely walked the walk. And I want to remind you, he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 27, he said, "I have worked much harder. I've been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged more severely, and I've been exposed to death again and again. Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one," which they were only allowed to whip people 39 times because their research had shown that once you got them 39 times, most people possibly could die. They still did sometimes, but 39 was the limit that they allowed back then. But he had this done to him not just once, but five different times. Three times he also said, "I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea." He said, "I've constantly been on the move without a home. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city and in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And besides everything else that I just shared, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches." Friends, that's a guy that knows what it's like to go through some really, really tough things and painful things, and emotionally, mentally, physically. My goodness. But yet he said in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, that "I've learned to be content with whatever I have and how to live almost nothing or with everything, and to be content in every situation, with a full stomach or empty, or with plenty or little, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." But I tell you, Paul challenged us with that and encouraged us. But I really do believe it all starts in the morning with your daily mindset choice. I read a quote recently that said, "Life is about balance. Be kind, but don't let people abuse you. Trust people, but don't be deceived. Be content, but don't stop improving yourself." Lots of nuggets of wisdom in that. So we talk about being content. It doesn't mean you're lazy, okay? Not talking about that. But being content. until you take your very last breath, ask God how you can make a difference with your only one and only life and be a blessing to others, encourage others. And if you've been blessed financially, bless others. But a simple phone call, we've talked about that earlier this week with Melissa Willoughby. I mean, just checking on people and letting people know that you're thinking about them, that God loves them. I mean, even on your worst day, you could be another person's hope. Another great quote from Joyce Meyer from the book Battlefield of the Mind. She said, whatever we focus on, we become. Whatever we put our energies on or our attention on, those things will develop. Where the mind goes, the body will follow. Good stuff there. Second thing that I want to share with you today that I think allows us to be like Paul and be content with our one and only lives is stop playing the compare game. Ouch. I know I'm stepping on somebody's toes right now. Stop playing the compare game. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8 says, godliness with content is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we will take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Friends, I go and serve at the Lighthouse at least once a month. Usually it winds up being about three times a month. I'll speak before they serve the lunch or dinner, and then I go and help serve the food and the drinks. And it's just a good reality check for me, because sometimes I can get guilty playing the American game and comparing what I drive, what my house where I live, when I'm going to be able to retire and get caught up in this great American culture that we have. And when I go down to the Lighthouse and I see people that a lot are homeless, they wouldn't have food to eat if it wasn't for the lunch or dinner at Lighthouse. It's a good reality check and reminds me to not be comparing to others my standard of living. Because here's what I know. When you compare to others, one of two things is going to happen. Either one, self-pity sets in because you're like, oh, I don't have as much as them. And you start feeling sorry for yourself and having that pity party, which is not God-honoring. Or the second thing is, if maybe you're doing a little better than that person financially and the car you drive and where you live and clothes you wear and vacations you're able to take, then pride sets in. And obviously that's not a God-honoring trait to have pride. And, I've shared with you a couple times on this program this year that I've not been able to take a vacation now for 2.5 years. And I used to, most years, not every year, but most years, get to go take a one-week vacation and usually would make it on a beach somewhere because I love the sound of the ocean and it's just so relaxing and peaceful and love it. It's a real blessing, one of the ways that God really speaks to me, but just have not been in a position to do that the past 2.5 years. And I've been guilty of comparing sometimes when other friends and family members are allowed to do that, been able to do that. And yet it's been also good for me because I probably took that for granted when I got to do it all the time. Now, I believe God's going to let me do it again, but fact of the matter is I got to not play the compare game. We really get caught up in trying to get material things in this life a lot of times, and though we all can be guilty of that, I know I can't, but a hero Wayne Smith said one time, I've done a lot of funerals, but I've never done one with a U-Haul behind the hearse. You can't take it with you. And that's such a great point. I mean, when you're buried, you might get maybe a picture or a shirt, one of your favorite shirts, or a ball cap or something, your favorite ball team and things like that, or a piece of jewelry or something. Maybe loved ones give you a stuffed animal sometimes, grandchildren, things. But the fact of the matter is, I mean, you really don't take anything with you. And when we play the compare game, man, we're usually worried about our material stuff. I also love this quote by Rachel Crew. She's Dave Ramsey's daughter, the financial guru who has wrote several great books on helping people with their finances, the Dave Ramsey Show, a lot of you probably listen to. But his daughter also does a great job with that stuff. And she had a quote that really spoke to me. It said, it's almost impossible to be satisfied in your own life if you're constantly looking at what someone else has. Amen and amen. Third and final thing I want to share to you today about how we can be like Paul and be content with our one and only lives is choose a daily attitude of gratitude. Choose a daily attitude of gratitude. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful." I tell you, when I read that verse, I was preparing this for a recent sermon for this program today. You know, he says that first sentence about peace ruling in your hearts, as members of one body, you were called to peace. There's a period, and be thankful. It reminds me of, quite often, my mom, if I've gone to see her and I'm going out of town, maybe driving to Tennessee or Ohio, someplace, you know, it's going to be a little bit of a distance, and say, "Mom, good to see you, love you," and walk out to the driveway, and all of a sudden I'll hear the screen door open back up, and she'll go, "Watch your speed. Watch your speed." And so just like Paul there, he wanted to add something else besides about letting the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. He also reminded the church there at Colossae, they said, and be thankful. And man, we need to be thankful every day. Of course, you go to Chick-fil-A and you tell them thank you for your food, or they give you a fork, you forgot your fork, thank you. And then what do they always say? "It's my pleasure, my pleasure." And we need to be grateful like that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And when I was executive pastor at Northeast Christian in Lexington, somebody gave me like a piece, like ceramic or something, tile, that it had that verse written on it, engraved in it. And it was nice and big. And so I had that sitting out in my office where I could see it every morning when I walked in. Because no matter what was going on, I wanted to be reminded that I need to rejoice always. I need to pray continually. But I need to give thanks in all circumstances, because that's God's will for me as a follower of Jesus. And for some of you today, you need to be reminded of that. And, you know, a lot of times, I understand, don't feel like rejoicing. Yet, when you are a mature follower of Jesus and you want to have hope in your one and only life, you've got to rejoice always. I love a quote by Dave Bednar. It says, "A grateful person is rich in contentment." A grateful person is rich in contentment. And then I close with this quote I also saw. It says, "Contentment always eludes those who don't count themselves blessed for what they already have." Contentment always eludes those who don't count themselves blessed for what they already have. So I want to encourage you, if you want to be content and be like Paul and just have a peace that passes all understanding in your life. One, make sure that you start off your daily mindset and you choose to be positive. And remember that life, as Chuck Swindoll's famous poem on attitude says, life is 10% what happens to us and 90% how we react to it. Number two, stop playing the compare game. And number three, to be content in your life, be like Paul, choose a daily attitude of gratitude. My name's Greg Horn. We'll see you next time on Hope Is Here.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.